T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Coming up later this hour, my NFL picks for Week 7. And I'll give my favorite props for the Eagles and the Raiders. Right now, let's go out to the guest line, pregame.com. Steve Fezzik joins us right now to talk through Week 7. And we'll start, Steve. And I appreciate you hopping on tonight. Steve, a lot of Eagles fans heading out to Vegas. Have you seen any yet?
I have not been to the Strip, but I can only imagine what the airfares were. I hope Southwest Airlines is back to 100%. It should be 50% Eagle fans.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And the number, as I'm looking at it right now, has moved, trickled down a little bit here, Steve. The Eagles were, for most of the week, 3-point underdogs. I'm seeing 2.5 right now. I actually think the matchup is pretty good for them. Defensively, they don't give up many big plays. The Raiders like to make big plays. The Raiders' offensive line, not great. Eagles, pretty good on the defense line. I think they have a real chance to do enough on defense. We'll see if their offense is more competent this week. What do you make of the matchup, Eagles-Raiders?
Blue Horseshoe loves the Philadelphia Eagles. You're right. The Eagles are the right side. The wise guys are betting it. There's still threes, and it's moving to 2.5. Grab the +3 after late, $1.15 now. I think the Eagles are going to win the game. I saw this week one against Atlanta where the Eagles had the advantage at the line of scrimmage, dominating with their O-line and their D-line. The Raiders' O-line is jittery. Their number one draft pick, Leatherwood, hasn't worked out. And I think that the Eagles' D-line is going to dominate them, and the Eagles don't give up big plays. And Carr loves throwing deep down the field, so it's a bad matchup as well. Eagles going to win this one, I'll say 27-19 straight up.
Love it. Steve, let's talk about some of the big games this weekend. Cincinnati, Baltimore, interesting one. I mean, Cincinnati has been way better than most thought, and now at least have a chance here to make some noise in the AFC playoff picture. They're in Baltimore, 6.5-point underdogs. Feels like a big number for a division game, but obviously Baltimore is coming off a great performance last week against the Chargers. What do you make of this game? Ravens hosting the Bengals, 6.5.
I'm conflicted. I'm waffling. On the one hand, the Ravens, before last week, had big game after big game after big game, and they've had all these injuries. Now Murray, their third-string starting running back, is injured as well. Will they be on their fourth-string running back? It has to matter at some point, right? But what also likely matters is the fact that the Bengals lost last year, on average, 33-3 in their two games against Baltimore. Baltimore's a bully and beats up on the Bengals. I pass.
Let's go to a game where we've seen some line movement this week, and I'm wondering what you make of it. The Packers are hosting the Washington football team. The number last I saw it was 7.5, but this was big to start the week. It was about 10. I saw 9.5. Now we're down to 7.5 here. You know, Green Bay is good. I'm not sure they're as good as their record. Their point differential is, you know, around even for a team that's 5-1. Washington defense has been so bad, though. Like, it's very hard for me to feel good about Washington against Aaron Rodgers. What do you make of this game? Washington is 7.5-point underdogs against Green Bay.
You know, this line move seems eerily reminiscent of last week when all the money, and I'm saying money, not sharp money, all the money was on the Giants against the Rams, and that spread went from 9.5 down all the way to 7, and then the Giants lost by a zillion. I could see the same thing happening. Heinicke has had back-to-back terrible games. I think the league has figured him out. I get it that the Packers have a big game on Thursday, but the Packers are not just better. They are way, way better than Washington. The Packers have a big home field. You know, I see that 7.5, 8. I want to tease that down to 2 every time. and I'll tease them with the Miami Dolphins up to +8.5. A great teaser, Miami and Green Bay.
Steve, a game that is going to probably be the most entertaining, at least maybe it could be the highest scoring game. Some of the total makes you think that way. 57.5. The Chiefs are in Tennessee against the Titans. Titans coming off of, you know, an emotional Monday night game, and Derrick Henry is just running wild right now. And here come the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. We know their defense has been bad. It seems like they're getting a little healthier here. It's not that big of a number. Would you lay it, Chiefs -4.5 against the Titans?
Not with my friend's money. The Chiefs, tremendous offense, no doubt about it. But they still turn the ball over, and the defense is still bottom five in the NFL. And the Titans just proved that they shouldn't be getting five against an elite NFL team at home, against the Bills. And now they're getting five again, getting 4.5. Similar circumstance. I get it. The Titans do have injuries at cornerback. Well, does it really matter? Kansas City was going to move the ball against the Titans all game anyways. It's going to be a shootout. I like the Titans.
Steve, got to ask you about the Sunday night game. Our old buddy here in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz, started off the year pretty rough. He was not healthy. He's played much better the last couple weeks, including last week. That was just, it was almost too easy against the Texans. And now the Colts go to San Francisco coming off their bye. The number's 4.5. It's going to be Garoppolo out there at quarterback. Wentz on the other side. Are you buying into the Wentz resurgence? And what do you make of the number here? Colts 4.5-point dogs on Sunday.
I am buying in a little bit because, you know, Quentin Nelson's coming back, the big ugly lineman who had the broken foot, same as Carson Wentz, who's been improving throughout the year, getting healthier. I'll say this, I'm going to pull back the curtain. I am a pro sports bettor, and I know you hear that all the time. All the media guys say, oh, you know, I'm a pro. No, they're not. Believe me, they're not. If they were, I would run into them at various promotions and the like, and they're never there. But I am a pro sports bettor. I know one that can't name a player. Literally, he cannot name a player. All he does is weather forecasts, and he's gone nuts on this game. He's texted me all week long. We played this under 45, under 44. We played Wentz under 22, 26 pass yards. We played Jimmy G under 223. We played Debo Samuel under 67. Monsoonal type rains, flooding. The drought is over in Northern California based upon this game alone. Play under. It's going to close 41. You can still get 43.
Ooh, that's interesting. So the weather will make an impact there. All right, Steve, there are three significant lines. I mean, two are really, really big, but three big ones. I'm seeing the Bears now down 11.5 in Tampa Bay, but the two gigantic ones, 16.5. The Rams are favored over the Lions as Goff goes back to L.A. to take on the Rams. And the Cardinals are 18-point favorites against the Houston Texans. Would you be willing to lay any of those with the favorites, 18, 16.5, 11.5?
It's not an area code that I reside in. I don't like to park in it, much less get out and go to the window and bet it. Having said that, you know, the Rams, you nailed it. Stafford, this is a late on his former team game, so maybe the Rams don't let up because of that. And the same thing in many ways is true for Arizona. Hopkins, very unhappy with how he was treated by Houston. So I bet Hopkins to score a touchdown to go over 70 rush yards. But with Arizona, with Green Bay on tap on Thursday, I think you can bet Houston plus the 18. That's probably a good bet.
Let's wrap with this, Steve. Arizona is the last undefeated team in the NFL. I'm imagining that's going to last at least until Thursday. They're going to beat the Texans and go to 7-0. Are you buying in, or are they as good as their record? Would you have them rated as your number one team right now? How good do you think this Cardinals team is?
Oh, my goodness, no. They're a fine team. They're my fourth best team right now. But my pet peeve is when the power ratings people put up, here are my power rankings, and what they should say is, here are the standings. Just because Arizona 6-0 doesn't make them the best team. I know they were the best team when they played the Rams that day, but the Rams are still better. Buffalo is better. And Kansas City, you could make the case, is better. So fine team, number four team in the country, but they might be the best team by the end of the year. I have been very impressed with Arizona. A.J. Green, I thought, would be a bust. He's been pretty good. So far, so good. The signs are good for Arizona.
Great stuff. Steve Fezzik, pregame Akab. Steve, thank you so much for hopping on, and we'll chat soon. Thank you.
Eagles are the best bet. Thank you, Joe.
There we go. Steve Fezzik. How about that? How about when the Sharps agree with me? Now, those are my favorite shows. Steve Fezzik says the Eagles are the best bet of the week.
You going to put that on your resume?
The Sharps agree with me? Just like a general term. Any Sharp agrees with me. Steve's a Sharp. That's interesting. I didn't know that about the Colts-Niners game. Me basically told us a monsoon is coming to Northern California. He took the under on every prop. Wentz passing yards, Garoppolo, the game, Deebo Samuel receiving yards. That sounds like it's going to be an ugly game on Sunday night.
It's exciting.
Something different? Just
ugly? Do you like weather games? Like I know everyone talks about the snowball here, but right. Do you like a nice muddy throwback football game where it's like 7-3?
Yeah, I like it because I think it totally takes the predictability out of the game, right? Like who knows who's going to slip on a rushing play, right? Like I feel like all the games we watch, we kind of have a feel of we think is going to happen. I have no idea, right? Like someone could slip and then the running back goes for 80 yards out of nowhere.
Yeah, and like turnovers are fun and they happen a lot, and the quarterback may not be able to even get a handoff off. And I'm pretty sure the quarterback in Indianapolis has had fumbling issues in the past in his career. It could be a wild game. Like it could be 10-6, but it could be fun.
Well, the quarterback on the road team has had fumbling issues. The quarterback on the home team has had interception issues where he's just missed guys, thrown to the wrong team. So we can be looking at a lot of turnovers on Sunday. That's a fun nugget there from Steve Fezzik. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Dan is in Northeast Philly. I think he wants to talk baseball, which I'm always up to talk baseball. What's up, Dan?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing good. I had a good day. I had a couple bad days. My tooth snapped in half, but I got it fixed, though.
Oh, no.
Before I got a toothache. So, and I got my bike inspected today. It was a nice day, so.
It was a beautiful day. Did you go bike riding today?
Well, yeah. I took a little ride. I had to get it inspected. The guy I usually go to fell down the steps and he was injured and all.
Oh, no, you got a lot going on. Dan, I actually got a bike for the first time in a while. I have a bike myself now.
What kind of bike?
You know what? I'd be lying if I... Well, actually, I have it on my phone here. I could tell you in a second. I have an app for my bike.
It's a motorcycle?
No. You mean a motorcycle or a bicycle?
No, a motorcycle.
Oh, I got a bicycle, Dan.
I got a fat boy at 1450.
I got a Canon. How about that? We're on different wavelengths here. I got a new bicycle. I got a Cannondale bicycle.
But, you don't have to inspect a bicycle.
Well, you got to make sure the gears are the right way. You got to take care of it, Dan.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right, but anyhow, I want to talk baseball.
Go ahead.
Who do you like in the National League?
I still think the Dodgers are going to come back.
I like Atlanta. I always hated the Dodgers from the 70s with them junk ballers, and the Phillies would swing at it. But who do you like in the American League?
Well, I mean, Houston's up 1-0 right now. I was rooting for Boston in the series, but it does feel like Houston's going to finish them off. They're up 1-0. Right, I'm watching the game right now as we speak. Garcia's pitching pretty well tonight.
I am, too. Yeah, I'm hoping for the Astros after that cheating stuff. I'm for Boston and Atlanta, right?
Yeah, you know
what,
though?
The Dodgers.
I agree with you on the cheating stuff and the Astros, but I wouldn't mind seeing Dusty Baker win. I always liked Dusty Baker.
Yeah. You know, he was a good player back in the day.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Joe. Good to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
You
have
too,
a great
Dan.
Show.
Thank
I'll
you,
see
Dan.
See you later.
All right, Dan. Enjoy the bike ride. How about that? Shows Dan and I a little bit different. He was talking about riding his motorcycle. I was telling him I got a new bike. I thought he was a bike rider.
You don't strike me as a motorcycle guy.
No. You know, actually, way back in the day, I used to want one. Like, I mean, not like when I was a teenager. I thought one day I would get a motorcycle when I was older. And then, like, now I have zero desire. Like, if you handed me a motorcycle or presented me one, you can't pick it up and hand it to me, I wouldn't ride it.
You're more of a scooter guy. That seems like your speed. Yeah, like a Vespa scooter.
No, I mean I don't have a scooter.
But that would fit you more, I think.
Yeah,
I think so.
I have a bicycle now. I got a bike for the first time since I was a kid. So I have a bike.
Do you ride it?
Well, I mean, why would we purchase the bike if I wasn't going to ride it? I mean, I've only done it now two times. It was weird because I haven't ridden a bike or like I hadn't ridden a bike since I don't know. I guess I was a teenager. Like I don't know. I was a grown up. Like I didn't have a bike. Where am I going to go ride a bike? And anyone could ride a stationary bike at a gym or something. But I hadn't ridden a real bike since I was a teenager. And then it was actually a birthday present. My family said they got me a bike. So I got on it, and it took me a minute to, like, remember I could do this.
They say you never forget.
They're right. I was worried. I was like, I haven't ridden a bike in 20 years. Probably 20 years. Am I going to fall off? And then, Tucker, you get on? You don't forget.
It's just like riding a bike.
It completely like riding a bike. I rode around the neighborhood like it was nothing. It's actually pretty cool. But Yeah, I have a new bike now. Not quite the
same.
You
teach your kids how to ride bikes now?
So they know how. That's part of the reason I wanted to get one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my daughter can ride with training wheels, but my son, he learned this summer to ride his bike all, you know, without training wheels. So now I can ride with them. Not quite a motorcycle, but a bike. Mike is in Exton. Is Mike a motorcycle guy? I wouldn't be shocked if Mike's a motorcycle guy. What do you think?
He strikes me as a motorcycle guy.
Mike in Exton, you a motorcycle guy?
Joe, I'm 59. When I was 18, I rode a moped in Asbury Park, fell, and I've never touched it again. Everybody I know who's had a motorcycle and some jobs where they use their hands has gotten to an accident.
So, Mike, you said Asbury Park. Are you from that part of Jersey, or were you just hanging out there?
No, I work. When I went through St. Joe's, my aunt had a house down there. I had much, much fun. Never spotted Mr. Springsteen.
Oh, yeah. So I grew up in Howell, which is a couple towns over, Mike, from Asbury Park. I don't know if you've been there recently. That entire town changed very significantly. It's actually a really cool place to go visit and hang out and eat food. It's I know it was cool back when you were there, and then it wasn't a very nice place to go and hang out for a while, but now it is again.
I know. I'm well aware, Joe. My cousin teaches down the shore in Point Pleasant, and I was in Red Bank a couple weeks ago for a book reading.
How about that? Jersey Shore guy, Mike in Exton. Mike, what's on your mind tonight? What are you thinking?
All right, here's the deal, Joe. I have a little experience with mental illness, being bipolar for 30 years. Here's the deal. With Mr. Simmons, it is a complete breakdown of his support system. If this is coming out at the beginning of the, it's just another game. I mean, they all knew this, and here we go. And I'm sorry, Joe, it doesn't sound good. I mean, I understand what you guys have been saying, but come on, man. This is, call Michael Phelps, call Carter Hart, do some work.
So are you frustrated with this latest development? It sounds like you're frustrated.
I do not like the supermodel point guard.
I don't like him either. I want him out of here, Mike. Trade him away.
Joe, what do you think? I mean, Joe, seriously, I'm bipolar. And it's not a game, but, you know, there is a stigma to mental illness. Trust me.
Yeah, I believe you, yeah.
And what I don't understand is the timing once again.
So, Mike, let me ask you. I'll ask you this way: Do you buy this, or do you think this is a ploy for him to keep his money while he's holding out?
I heard Ike Reese. I don't trust it. That's all
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't either. I mean, Mike, if you follow the pattern, what bothers me is the pattern, right? We go from he wants to be traded, and then he'll do whatever it takes to not be here, and then he only shows up when they take his checks for the preseason. And then he said his back hurts, and the doctors say his back's fine. And now this, it makes the pattern of behavior doesn't sound good, doesn't look good.
Joe, and all I look at is Philadelphia sports. Brian Dawkins, Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, Carter Hart. And then I look to my ultimate role model, which is Michael Phelps.
Right, and those guys have all been accepted and supported when they've come forward.
And they weren't shy. And this
right.
just seems, I can't trust. It's like the boy you said, Wolf.
Yeah, I feel that same way. And Mike, I appreciate the call, and I hope you have a great weekend. But that, Mike and I, a lot of common places we know in the Jersey Shore. Mike and I are two peas in a pod.
You guys will be best friends. You'll be riding your bike down the Asbury Park boardwalk soon.
Yeah, we'd have to take a video of that. Mike and I riding our bicycles down the Asbury Park boardwalk.
Have you ever ridden a tandem bicycle?
I have not. Have you?
No. But I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it. I guess it's never come up. You got to rent those, right? People don't just have those in their garages. That's like a thing.
You got to have a pretty big garage, I imagine.
Right. That's something you do at the beach, right? Or the shore. Like you do it, you know, you rent the bikes and you go on the tandem bike.
In a romantic comedy.
Yeah. I mean, is that a thing that people still do?
I don't know. I've never seen one in real life.
Oh, I have. It's just been a while. I just wonder. Are tandem bikes still a thing? It's like it feels like it's like a like some from some sort of rom-com in the 90s or 80s, like tandem bikes.
Yeah, like it feels like it's a concoction that John Hughes created to help his movies along.
Right. It doesn't feel like you see many of those. It's interesting. This conversation about, I guess trust is a better word than believe when it comes to Ben Simmons and the latest that we heard today. But, I mean, we just had someone who called in who suffered from mental illness throughout his life and said he doesn't trust it. I mean, that's – and we've had doctors call in tonight and say you almost have to trust it and believe it and take it for what it is. I don't know. I also do not believe that he's going to ever play a minute in a Sixers uniform again, ever. I think this is all, it's all part of that. And, you know, everyone, this is all part of the process to where he's never going to play a game in this uniform again. And if I'm wrong, I guess that's good for the Sixers because it puts a player that is somewhat valuable back on the court. But I don't think he's going to ever play again here. They can call it whatever they want. To me, it's semantics. He's never playing for the Sixers again. That's the way I feel.
I also think if you're a doctor, you have to approach it with an open mind.
You can't right? go
like,
in.
You'd be a pretty terrible doctor if someone said, I have mental illness, and you went, nah, I don't think so. See you later, bud. Right? Like it's almost their professional duty to show up and with an open mind and be accepting, which I think is obviously the correct response.
Yeah, and is it for this Philadelphia sports fan mind to approach things with a cynic's point of view?
I mean, kind of.
I mean, that's especially with a team that's had just, you know, craziness and things go wrong for the Sixers almost at a level that doesn't seem right. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. So we had a caller a few minutes ago when Dan called in and said he's pulling for the Braves. I don't really have any of these four teams I'm pulling for, right? We're at game six of both of these series. Last year I was pulling for the Dodgers. I did want them to win one. They've been the best team of a decade or whatever, and they didn't get one. I was happy they got their World Series. I don't really have any of these four teams. Obviously, I was pulling for the Giants. I wanted Gabe Kapler to win, but once he got knocked out and they got knocked out, I don't like none of this moves me. Red Sox win. They win every 4 years. That's what they do now. The Astros win. Okay, they're really good. They won again. Dusty Baker, I like him. I have nothing on the Dodgers this year. Like, whatever. They're the best team. And the Braves, I don't hate this Braves team. I don't know. I don't care if any of these teams win.
Braves are, I mean, they're not real like the 2017 Eagles and that they didn't dominate the whole regular season, but kind of similar. Like, could you imagine the Braves winning a world title without their best player?
Yeah, and not just like, and like that year with Wentz, we're talking about a player that he's a top five-ish player in the league.
Yeah, like even if the Phillies lost Bryce Harper, he played at an MVP level this year. Like, they'd be screwed, right? They'd be a 72-win team.
They barely were playing.
The Braves lost Ronald Acuna and got better. They played better. They got Adam Duvall and Eddie Rosario and Jock Peterson, who's just been unbelievable this season. Jocktober. It's insane.
Yeah, and I do think, at least if they win, isn't it another wake-up call for John Middleton and the Phillies? Like, hey, we're not close to that team. We got to wake up.
Yeah, I mean, even just what you've seen so far, right? Even if they fall short and just, you know, lose in game seven of the NLCS, it's something where I think if the Phillies think they are this close, they're absolutely fooling themselves, right? Because the Braves are going to be better. Ronald Acuna will be back. They have a very astute front office. They're going to probably win 90 to 95 games every year for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. The Mets have shown a willingness to pretty much throw money at any problem that comes in their way. And even though they're pretty snake bitten, have to imagine Steve Cohen's going to figure it out at some point. Mm-hmm. Nationals have a lot of good young prospects. Marlins seem about a step and a half away from being real contenders. The Phillies kind of peaked at 82 wins.
Yeah, and it also shows, and I don't think the Phillies are close to the Braves, but it also does show the value of trying at the deadline. It's been year after year where the Phillies are reasonably within the mix for a playoff spot, and they do crap at the deadline. Like, they do the bare minimum. Like Drew Smyly, an injured Corey Dickerson, injured Wilson Ramos. I mean, like, the Phillies have done so – Asdrubal Cabrera, who was fat, and they tried to put back at shortstop. Like, they've done so little at these trade deadlines and tried to make, like, oh, well, we fixed this hole. Yeah, sure, bringing back Freddie Galvis, who's hurt. It's really fixing holes this year. Meanwhile, the Braves actually tried. They tried. Like, oh, we lost our best player? Let's just go out and get four outfielders to fill the shoes of one guy. It worked. They're one win away from the World Series. I think Tucker just talked me into rooting for the Braves. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll come back. Your phone calls, NFL picks, guess the takes, and my favorite FanDuel Sportsbook props for the Eagles and the Las Vegas Raiders coming up on Sunday. I've got a bunch here. I can't wait to get to my favorite props for the game on FanDuel Sportsbook. That's coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And hey, it's Joe Giglio. Football is finally back, and your picks could be worth up to $10,000 with a Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up today by texting picks to 20357 and just pick the winner of each week's games. No point spreads, no lineups, and totally free to enter. Pick the most games right throughout the season, and you could win $10,000. Sign up now by texting PICKS to 20357. That's PICKS to 20357. $1,000 up for grabs each week, and $10,000 at the end of the season. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard here on this Friday night. All right, we'll get to NFL picks. We'll get to guess the takes here. But right now, one of my favorite things we do each week is dive into my favorite props for the Eagles game on FanDuel Sportsbook. So these are the best, what I would call the best, my favorite. I mean, there's so many you could dive into, but here are the ones I like more than any on FanDuel Sportsbook for the Eagles, Raiders, the props for Sunday. So this, I mentioned to Steve Fezzik when he was on with us a few minutes ago, the number has moved. It's now Eagles are 2.5-point underdogs. They were 3 earlier in the day. The over-under in the game is 48.5. All right, so I'll throw out my favorite props, and then we'll have Tucker tell me thumbs up, thumbs down, if he's on board with my prop selections. I got to say, I feel like I've done better with these than picking games the last couple weeks, just in general, just picking these. I think last week, because the Eagles had already played when we did this, I think I hit 3 out of 5 just around the NFL. I did pretty well on the Eagles Bucks game last week with the props. So let's see if we can hit some more this week. First one, and it feels like it's becoming an easy one. I'm going to take Jalen Hurts +145 anytime touchdown score. He has 4 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. It certainly feels like Nick Sirianni has woken up and realized my best way of scoring within the 6-7 yard line is to just let Jalen Hurts run the football. I don't think that changes this week. I'm going to take Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown score prop. Probably until I lose. It just feels like it's the right play these days.
He's
like
got 5 this year. I think he has 8 in his career and 10 career starts.
It's almost like Cam used to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Derrick Henry where it's an automatic. It's not a matter of if but when. But on a team that doesn't really have a lot of red zone options, it makes a lot of sense. And think about, like, he pretty much handles the ball the entire game, right?
Right.
It's like picking LeBron to score a point. It's going to happen.
Right. So I'm going Jalen Hurts +145 anytime touchdown score. I'm going to go under on Derek Carr's longest pass of 40.5 yards. The Eagles just don't allow big plays. I know Ruggs and Edwards are both averaging over 20 yards a catch, so it's a dangerous prop to take because all you need is one Ruggs play over the top. I mean, he's been getting these 20-yard catches every week. He's developing exactly what I think they draft him to be, which is a deep threat. But 40.5 yards is a lot. I mean, if they're keeping things in front of them, which they've done all year, it's going to take a lot of missed tackles to get to a 40.5-yard pass or a blown coverage. And really, other than the Tyreek Hill touchdown against the Chiefs, they haven't had many of those blown coverages where it's just big, over the top, 50, 60 yards. I'm going to go under 40.5 Carr's longest pass of the day.
Yeah, they've only allowed 3 completions over 40 yards this year.
Yep.
And the longest of the season is 44. I think that is the Tyreek Hill play. And Steven Nelson allowed a 44-yard catch, too. So, I mean, this is what this team does.
Right.
their entire defense, for better or worse, is to limit these plays.
Yeah, and it's just a high number. I think it's inflated because this is what the Raiders do. They make big plays. But usually you look at these each week on FanDuel, and it's like 35, 36 is the longest pass for whatever quarterback we're talking about. It's Carr 40.5. I'll go under. All right, this one is a little bit of a risky one, but I'm going to risk it because I've already said the Eagles are going to win. How about this one? You get +230, Tucker, on the Eagles to score first and win. They haven't done well in this all year. In fact, they've been outscored by 39 points in the first half of games. I just feel like 10 days off, Sirianni getting killed all week for bad offense. I wouldn't be surprised if they score first in this game. I really think they're going to win. So, and they have a better, much better chance to win if they do score first. I'm going to go Eagles to score first and win plus 230.
Yeah, I mean, they've only scored first in one game, and that was the 49ers game,
right,
which they obviously lost 17-11.
It feels like they're due to score first.
Yeah, and you would hope, right? And this goes back to Nick Sirianni. We talked about a lot last year about, you know, the first 15 plays, scripting the first 15 plays, how early on in the game that's a real testament to the coaching staff, mm-hmm, and the game plan they put together. The proof is there, right? They have struggled early in games. They've struggled to get off to good starts. You would hope having that extra layoff and having the 10 days can change something, but you're right. It is a huge risk because this is a team that has pretty much played behind the entire season.
All right, so I'll go Eagles to score first and win plus 230. How about DeVonta Smith? Over 4.5 receptions in the game. So last week, DeVonta was basically invisible. A lot of that was, I think Jalen didn't see him a couple times. They couldn't get him the ball a couple times. But the 2 weeks prior, he had 7 receptions and he had 7 receptions. Like, he, for 2 weeks in a row, he was trending towards being a guy with volume catches in games. Last week, he went backwards. They got only 2 catches last week against the Bucks. 4.5 is kind of that middle ground. If the offense is more functional, I'm already ruling out Jalen Reagor. It just feels like he's disappearing from the offense. Quez is a guy that's going to probably catch a deep ball or two, but he's no volume guy. Ertz is out of the lineup, off the team. Goddard's back, and he'll probably get his fair share of catches, but I'm just thinking, where are the catches going? Right, if Jalen completes, I don't know, 22, 23 passes on Sunday, whatever his number is going to be, I don't think it's a stretch to say at least 5 of those go to DeVonta Smith. Tucker, what do you think? DeVonta Smith over 4.5 receptions.
I think it depends on who he's matched up with on the field. The Raiders have lost a lot of cornerbacks to injuries, both Trayvon Mullins and Damon Arnett, who's a first-round pick in 2020.
Right.
I believe are both on the IR. But they do have Casey Hayward. I think he's first in the NFL in passer rating allowed when targeted. He's only allowed 4 catches once all season.
He's been good.
He's played really, really well. If he's matched up on DeVonta Smith, if they decide that DeVonta Smith can't be the guy that beats them, that could be an issue. But other than that, I mean, they have Nate Hobbs. They don't really have anybody else back there. So one of these guys are going to break out, whether it is DeVonta Smith. And DeVonta Smith moves around a lot. He could end up in the slot. But I would say either him or Quez Watkins probably has a big day.
All right, so I go DeVonta over 4.5 catches. And my final one, my final FanDuel Sportsbook prop that I like for Eagles Raiders on Sunday, it's under the same vein as the Carr under on his longest passing play. I'm going to go Derek Carr under 288.5 yards. That's a lot of yards. I know he's had some big games, but 288.5? I think the Eagles have the advantage with their defensive line against the Raiders' offensive line. I don't think Carr's getting a 290 or above. I'm going to go Carr under 288.5 yards. He had a big game last week against Denver, but his 2 games prior, he was trending down. He was more in the, low 200s against the Raiders, against the Chargers and the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, he threw for 435 against Baltimore, 382 right, against Pittsburgh, 386 against Miami, but then 196, 206, and bounced back with 341 yards against Denver. The other thing, if the Eagles aren't winning, if their offense struggles, it could be a game where he isn't really throwing the ball all that much. And we mentioned earlier, I mean, he's not really throwing the ball a ton. Only threw 27 passes last week.
It's deep shots.
To get those 341 yards. If the Eagles aren't allowing deep passes and are making sure that they aren't letting Henry Ruggs free, it could be a tough day for him.
I think it will be. I'm going to go under 288.5 pass yards. And also, to note, 2 of his first 3 games, he got overtime to pad those numbers. I don't know how much he added in overtime. It probably wasn't a significant amount, but it was some, right? So he padded his numbers with a couple of overtime games under 288. So here they are, my favorite FanDuel Sportsbook props for the Eagles and the Raiders game. Hurts, anytime touchdown scorer, plus 145. Derek Carr, longest pass under 40.5 yards. Eagles to score first and win, you get plus 230 odds on that. DeVonta Smith over 4.5 receptions, and I'll go Derek Carr under 288.5 passing yards. All right, there are the props for FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, let's get to NFL picks and guess the takes for week number 7 in the NFL. All right, game number 1 here. I've been talking about it all night. I can't go away from it. Originally, earlier in this week, I took the Eagles plus 3. But for the picks, I'm taking the Eagles money line. I think they're going to win this game. Eagles get an extra couple days here to prepare, a couple extra days to rest. Meanwhile, the Raiders are coming off a divisional game on the road last week. And I just think there is something to our coach got fired, our coach resigned, let's rally together. And, you know, when Elliot was on with us a couple nights ago, he threw out a nugget that I just thought was really interesting. That the last, I think, 4 times there was a coaching change in the season, that team was 4-0 that immediate game after. And then so far, the team, that's those same teams were 0-3 the next week. This will be the 4th one with the Raiders. There's something to that where you kind of get up and you figure it out. Everyone's on their best, you know, plays their best, prepares the best that first week with the interim coach. And then reality sets in. And I just think it was much easier for the Raiders to prepare for the Broncos last week. They see them twice a year. They know that defense they were facing inside and out. They faced it for years. There was no ambiguity for the Raiders facing the Broncos. That was kind of an easy preparation week. Oh, like, we don't have a coach? Playing the Broncos. We know them. It's a way different story preparing for the Eagles. Preparing for a quarterback they've never seen. Preparing for a coach they've never faced. I mean, it's just a lot of different, a lot of new. I think that hurts the Raiders this week. I think it all helps the Eagles. I'm expecting Nick Sirianni to not be as bad. Jalen Hurts to make a few more throws. And I think it's a good matchup for the Eagles defense. I'm going to go the Eagles money line to beat the Las Vegas Raiders coming up on Sunday. That's pick number 1. Pick number 2, we can call it the Jared Goff revenge game. Or we can just call it a line that's too big. The number is up to 16.5. The Rams are favored by 16.5 points over the Lions. I know the Lions are bad. They haven't won a game yet. But that's a big number. I mean, until last week when the Lions got beat up bad by the Bengals, they had pretty much been in most of these games. They had covered a lot of these games. They covered against the Niners. They almost beat the Ravens. They covered a couple weeks ago against the Minnesota Vikings. They had not embarrassed themselves in most of these games. And I look at 16.5 and I say, that's just way, way, way too many points. You know, I think at some point the Lions will put a couple touchdowns in. Even if they lose this game 30-14, you cover the bet. I'm going to go the Lions plus 16.5. To cover against the Los Angeles Rams. It's just way too many points for this game. I'll go Lions plus 16.5. My next pick is going to be the Chiefs. I know we had Steve Fezzik on a little while ago for pregame.com, and he referenced that it's, you know, he wouldn't back the Chiefs. He wouldn't back them laying points, but I just think the Titans are a little overvalued after a big Monday night win, and we see what Derrick Henry's doing. He's playing at a ridiculous, ridiculous level right now. But that Titans team's not very good. I don't buy that they're as good as their record of 4-2. The Chiefs will soon stop turning the ball over. I think it's a little fluky. Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes, and it's less than 5 points. And I don't think Tannehill's playing great football this year. I'm going to go the Chiefs on the road, minus the 4.5, to take care of business against the Tennessee Titans. And my last game here, I'm following the advice of Steve Fezzik of pregame.com, who joined us earlier. I didn't know how to play the Colts and the 49ers. I think the 49ers are going to win. It's a weird number where maybe it's kind of close and they don't cover it. But now that we found out there's going to be some sort of monsoon in the Bay Area and it's going to be crazy weather out there, I'm going to take the under 42.5. A low-scoring game. Carson Wentz, probably some turnovers. Jimmy Garoppolo, probably some turnovers. Both teams have pretty good defenses that could cause some problems. I'm going to go under 42.5. The Niners and the Colts. So the picks, under 42.5, Colts Niners, Chiefs minus 4.5, Lions plus 16.5, and the Eagles money line to win the game outright in Las Vegas. Those are the picks. Now let's guess the takes here for week number 7. What we're going to be hearing early next week. Take number 1, you know what it's going to be. The Eagles season is back on. Why not? This is what we do, right? They win a game, season's back on. They lose a game, throw in the towel, they stink, prepare for the draft. The Eagles season will suddenly be back on Monday after a win against the Raiders. Take number 2, and even though I didn't pick them to win, I think there's a good chance this guy has another ridiculous game. Has anyone looked at what Derrick Henry's rushing prop is, if you want to take that and bet it? It's over 125 yards. Like, normal for Derrick Henry now is like, 125 yards. He had 3 touchdowns last week. I mean, we've really never seen a running back for an extended period dominate the game like this. And I know Derrick Henry has a long way to go to put himself in the stratosphere of a Jim Brown or the stratosphere of a LaDainian Tomlinson Adrian Peterson, Barry Sanders, Emmett Smith, but he doesn't have that far to go. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's doing things that most backs have never done, and he's not slowing down. So I think a take you're going to hear early next week, even if the Titans lose the game, is that Derrick Henry belongs in the MVP conversation with the quarterbacks. It's almost become like a, you don't even think about running backs in this conversation. I guess Todd Gurley, maybe in 2017, was the last one you kind of felt that he was being talked about in that way. But that's really it. I think Henry's on his way to that. As you kind of watch the quarterbacks this year, I don't know if there is a slam dunk. Lamar's in the mix. Kyler's in the mix. Mahomes, Herbert. I mean, you know, Rodgers, Allen, there's a bunch. But I don't know if one is set. Dak. I don't know if one is separated yet with the quarterbacks. You could give a quarterback's probably going to win. But if there's like six or seven quarterbacks that are in the mix, it might open up an avenue for Derrick Henry. I think you'll hear his name in the MVP talk early next week after another gigantic game against the Chiefs. And my third take, as we guess on what you're going to hear next week, is a name we talked about during the offseason, a name that was linked to the Eagles in the draft before they traded down. Look, Devontae Smith's had a nice rookie year so far. Jalen Waddle has some promise. There's some pretty decent rookie receivers. Has anyone watched Ja'Marr Chase? He is on a different level than the rest of these guys, including Devontae Smith. And after he has a big game in Baltimore on Sunday, I think you're going to start hearing that Ja'Marr Chase is one of the great rookie receivers ever. Like, I'm talking about the way Odell Beckham was talked about on his when he burst on the scene in 2014? And the way Randy Moss was talked about in 1998. Like, I think we're not far away from Ja'Marr Chase getting that kind of hype as a rookie wide receiver. He has been incredible so far. He's already, you know, one of the better receivers in the league. And I don't think he's going to stop this week. I think Ja'Marr Chase starts getting talked about as one of the great rookie receivers ever. So the takes you're going to hear next week, the Eagles season isn't over. Derrick Henry in the MVP discussion. And let's talk about Ja'Marr Chase as one of the great rookie receivers of all time. Those are the takes. Those are the picks. Those are the props for week 7 in the NFL. This is going to be a great weekend. You were mentioning before the show, Tucker, all we have going on this weekend. We could have a pair of game 7s in Major League Baseball. We have a close game going on right now in the ALCS, but it's a one-run game. So we very well could have an ALCS game 7. We have a game 6 tomorrow night, NLCS. Scherzer pitching to try to get the Dodgers to game 7. All the football, there's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, all the football, the Sixers play on Sunday night. The Flyers play in Las Vegas. Or they play against Las Vegas. I'm not sure if they're in Las Vegas or not. I mean, Temple plays South Florida. There's a lot going on this weekend.
A ton. I'm trying to look if the Flyers are here or they're there. The Flyers play the Panthers at home tomorrow. And the Flyers play the Golden Knights on... I think they play tomorrow. The Flyers are playing tomorrow. Okay, they're playing tomorrow tonight.
No, they don't play on Sunday at all. I don't know why I thought they did.
But that's okay. They play tomorrow. Panthers, Flyers
still
tomorrow.
Falls in the weekend.
That's it. It doesn't matter who they're playing against. It doesn't matter where the games take place on the weekend. That's what matters.
Just be happy we're talking hockey.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now how I'm going to. Are you ready for the first Eagles 4 o'clock game this year? That's the real question. Throws off the whole Sunday feel.
I prefer it. It's an odd week because we're missing three games. There's six teams on byes. It's a pretty light schedule. It'll be the lightest schedule of the season.
Yeah.
But I normally like the 4 o'clock game, right? You can watch NFL Red Zone. You can kind of pay attention to all the other games at one. And then when 4 o'clock rolls around, like, you can only watch the Eagles, right? Like, you're only missing one or two games.
And really, this week, you're not missing any. Do you know what the 4 o'clock games around the Eagles are? They're all the gigantic spreads. It's the Cardinals Texans, which is 18.5 now, or 18. It's the Rams-Lions, and unless you're interested in the Jared Goff revenge thing, I mean, that game's miserable. And it's the Bucks and the Bears. Like, it's the 4 o'clock game, there's only one that probably will be competitive. That's the Eagles game. So you're not really missing anything.
No, unfortunately, a lot of West Coast teams are at home. Like, I guess Tampa Bay is the only East Coast team, East Coast team at home that gets the 4 o'clock billing.
Right.
And I assume that'll be Fox's game of the week with Aikman and Buck, but... Yeah, I mean, you look around the schedule, it's not that great, and you're not going to be missing much, so it'll be nice.
Yeah, and, you know, I do wonder how much I'm going to be paying attention during the pregame show on Sunday. I'm with Glenn and Ross on Sunday. I mean, that's during the Red Zone window. Like, I'll have my computer up on the Red Zone. Like, will I be...
Well, you'll be in here, won't you?
I will. Oh, I can just watch it on TV, you're saying?
Yeah, we have Red Zone here.
All right, well, then I'll be what? Well, here's the real question. Will I be paying attention to what Glenn and Ross are saying as I watch the Red Zone at 2 o'clock on Sunday?
Probably not.
No, I don't think there's any chance. I mean, watching all those games. It should be a fun...
Panthers, Giants, Jets, Patriots, Falcons, Dolphins, sign me up.
Do you know, did you realize, by the way, as we talk about the games for Sunday, what the Dolphins did with their bye? So when you go to London or you go, you know, to Europe to play a game, primarily you get the bye the next week. That's the way it's almost
correct.
Always... You can decline that bye, and they'll give it to you later on in the season. So the Miami Dolphins played last week. They lost to the Jaguars in London. They declined the bye. So not only are they coming off of no bye and a trip all the way across, they're playing the Falcons coming off their bye because they played the week before in London. That's a double whammy.
And things aren't necessarily going well in Miami right now. Like, I understand there's possibly some hubris from Brian Flores or whoever made that decision to decline the post-London bye. But, I mean, you've now lost five games in a row.
Yeah.
And they're biased until week 14.
I feel like there's a lot of hubris down in Miami. That team is full of themselves. Like the front office, the coaching staff, they really think they're smarter than everyone. Well, their first round pick belongs to the Eagles because they're dopes.
And they're 29th in points scored and 29th in points allowed.
Yeah, it feels like they are maybe 2 weeks away from a desperation move for Deshaun Watson because they realized, like, uh-oh, I'm going to get fired here.
It's just crazy because 2 years ago, I think Brian Flores was pretty well-liked and pretty – I don't know if you would have called him a top 10 coach, but people were really high on him.
Yeah.
The way he had that 6-10 team fighting at the end and winning football games. Now I wonder if he's coaching for his job for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this ultimately might not come off, and we'll end with this as a great comparison for Nick Sirianni or a great omen. But I was mentioning earlier that a lot of times young coaches can look overwhelmed and their teams get beat up early in seasons, and then they are much more competitive as the year goes on. I think the last 2 years had two of those. Brian Flores 2 years ago, his team was terrible in September, and they won a lot the last 2 months of the season. And last year was the Giants, right, with Joe Judge. Now, they still were 6-10, but I'd say the last month and a half, sort of maybe with the Eagles game when they beat Wentz and the Eagles in November, they were better. Like, this happens. It happens a lot where rookie coaches, oftentimes with young quarterbacks, they have just a lot of choppiness in the beginning. And then the last month, 2 months, 2.5 months, it's better. And for the Eagles, we'll see when that starts. If it starts, I think it's going to start Sunday with a win over the Raiders. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk actually on Monday. I'm doing the Players Lounge with Ike on Monday. So, or actually, pregame Sunday, I'll talk to you guys then. And then the Players Lounge on Monday with Ike. You guys have a great night. We will talk next week right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.